Let me take then this opportunity and welcome the department under the leadership of the acting DG and also members of Parliament. We're not expecting to be here for more than 1.5 hours. If everything goes the way it is planned by us, unless something else comes up. Yesterday I received this short or the summarized version of the budget, of which I instructed the secretary to give to every member, although it was addressed to myself, but I thought it would be useful for members to work on this. We could not get you environmental affairs yesterday because they had prior arrangement with the NCOP. Because what I encouraged the committee section to do is to liaise with the NCOP committee secretary so that we should not experience what we did last time when we called the department and the NCOP, the other side, called the department. And then it was difficult for DG to share herself into two. So we are trying our best to avoid it. It seems as if the same happened with the NCOP when it comes to environmental affairs. But I try then to be flexible and decided that we'll deal with them sometime next week. Let us this week deal with water affairs. And next week then we'll deal with environmental affairs. And next week will be our last week before the soccer tournament, which means we'll meet again sometime in July. So I won't follow the route that I always do of people introducing themselves. I think by now we know each other because we don't have a very high volume of people. So without any waste of time, I will then give over to you, DG, and your team to make the presentation to ourselves. We took this decision that on a quarterly basis, we'll always call you and monitor your spending trends financially so that at the end of the financial year, we don't have to deal with a very long report. At least when we see challenges are coming, then we address those challenges immediately. So we think this is the best way to deal with this. Hence, we are faced with a very huge volume of work because of these two difficult sectors. So this is how we're going to drive this up to the end of the financial year. Thank you very much. Over to you, DG.
Good morning, Chair, and all of the members. Thank you for the explanation. Chair, our understanding, and we hope that we are going to converge with the portfolio committee of this, that you wanted now, I'm getting a sense of what you want, because we sort of prepared the presentation in terms of the current expenditure trends and intake and implementation. And maybe we just need to consider finding an appropriate date in terms of being able to have a sense of the entire scale of the quarter. So, for example, normally in the books, there are due dates for the processing of certain transactions. So we might just have to work with your office to say, what is the appropriate time so that you can have a sense of the full quarter of the activities of the department for the future. Maybe in this one, with your permission, I will suggest that we go ahead and present, and if we have not met your, you know, your expectations, we can then try to improve for the next presentation of a full quarter. So I will hand over to the CFO to... The members know the team. The CFO wants to know if I don't want to introduce them. No, the members know the team now by now. Okay. Thank you. I'll hand over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair and DG. Honorable members, good morning. Of course, personally, I discussed in understanding the brief when I was told on Friday or day before that. We should come and give trends. So I didn't know whether I should go 15 years back or, but then I understand there was a conversation with one of my colleagues which indicated that we focus on a quarter. It's something we have done before with the portfolio for the previous government before you constituted this committee. And one of the things, by the way, because of our previous bad history with the AG, by the way, we used to report on how we are addressing the issues addressed by AG. If you want to add them again, Chair, is something that we are ready after the audit of this financial of the last financial year. And if there will be any issues that will require the committee to exercise oversight over, is something that we should also be happily be able to report to you on what we are doing about it as we go along. I think so, over and above just the figures themselves, I think the credibility of the system that go with the financial management of those budgets is something that I feel strongly. If all the auditors will have expressed their dissatisfaction, we would need also to include it in the report back to you on a quarterly basis. So we agree with the principle, I think, as it has been indicated. That remember, the Department of Water Affairs has two main divisions in terms of what we call the exchequer funds and the water trading, and that's how the presentation is divided. I take it that the other members have something that looks like this. So if you look at your presentation, that's how it has been divided. So for main account, the main account generally, that's where we handle the voted funds, the funds that were voted for by Parliament, which in the current financial year, we are talking about just under 7.9 billion. We would then account it there in order to support the policy and regulatory function of the department. But when it comes to water trading, this is where we account for revenue we collect from the various water users that are registered at different schemes in order to support the work we do in the department. Now, so the bulk of the infrastructure for raw water supply, part of the cost, we are not saying 100% of the cost, part of the cost is supported or covered by the revenue we generate through a tariff charge that is charged under the pricing strategy. Now, during the year, after you have voted money for by Parliament in the way it has happened, obviously we have what you call in-year report or early warning reports, which we give to the minister. Funding was for the year under review. The exact table you have at the end of your pack will not differ materially from what we are giving the Auditor General on the 31st of May. So whatever comments you'll give and whatever you see there, if it will ever change, it will change very slightly during the audit process after that fund. But that's what we intend to give the Auditor General. Of course, recall that we had a transfer of function. I will also mention something briefly about the transfer of function where forestry and human and sanitation had to move out of water affairs or out of the portfolio for water affairs. Now, historically, what we see, you will notice that the department has never spent 100% in terms of, and when we say spending, by the way, I think we need to operationalize that term. It means the money has moved out of the bank account of water affairs. It doesn't necessarily mean that the invoice may not be on the table or something may not have been done. It's possible, for example, in 2005, when there was an expenditure of 1%, there could have been invoices on the table, but they had not gone through the payment process for the money to be taken off the bank account. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the work was not done, but when it was not done, that's why we would need to come back to you and tell you, sorry, the 187 million we are talking about is true, the work was not done, and this is why the work was not done. And then, of course, we give other accountabilities that go with that. So you'll notice that for the last, more or less after 2005, you'll notice that the expenditure, we have been underspending on the average by 6%. There was a year where we underspent by 8%. This year, we have underspent by 2% of the allocated budget. Now, if we go by program, because the entire budget is allocated by way of programs, program known as administration, obviously we, in the last quarter, we spend 100%, and in the, more than 100%, the amount that we say is available, 1 million, in a 20 change, that 100%. The water resource management, that's why the infrastructure, raw infrastructure is accounted for, they have spent 99%. But what I'm telling you that, anyway, we have spent on that, but I'll comment further on that particular element. And then water services is where we had the bulk of the under expenditure, the contributing area. So as a portfolio committee, you'll want to know specifically later on that what exactly this 145, what was it meant to do that we did do? I think that's really important for you to know in the process. One of them, just before I go to the details, part of the money that was meant for accelerated community infrastructure, a program that required co-financing by selected municipalities, which was aligned to the municipal financial year, is the cause of the bulk of that particular understanding, Madam Chair, of the 145. The municipalities were not in, and the expenditure was to take place between the municipal financial year as opposed to the national government financial year. So we have applied for the rollover and I'm sticking to that. That's where the bulk of that understanding is. In terms of economic classification, remember our budget, apart from by way of program, is also classified in terms of economic classification for purpose of disclosure. And when we talk of the compensation of employees, we had a budget of 916. We spent 910, but therefore 6 million kind of remained unspent. On goods and services, there's that particular budget, 123, which was not spent, and I'll explain where the reasons why it was not spent. Transfers and subsidies, also there was an expenditure on that, and remember, transfers is money meant for another agency or another sphere of government. We are not the ones benefiting directly as a department from that particular expenditure. And then obviously, capital payments, we need to pay the entire amount of 486. We underpaid, I mean, we spend $3 million less. So the total of the expenditure, therefore, adds up to $187 million for the year ended 31st of March 2010. It's actually for the whole year. Now, what were the reasons for the under expenditure? The Executive Committee Infrastructure Chair is an honorable member, is one of the contributing factors. The funding of this project, which was committed in Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Eastern Cape, KZN, and Northern Cape, it was aligned to the municipal year, and the municipalities needed to budget for the co-financing element, given our contribution we were meant to give in this case. Now, the saving on water services grant, because I told you that under water services program, we underspent by 145 million. So the under expenditure, in fact, it would be wrong to use the especially the term saving. I think I will correct myself again. It's not really saving. We are saying that we didn't disperse that money because the certain municipalities failed to comply with the DORA condition. And when they don't comply with the DORA condition, we will not just disperse the money, we will withhold, but we can ask National Treasury to roll it over, that when they are ready, we will still deploy those resources to the same municipalities. It doesn't mean that it's gone and gone forever, so long as they just try. We want them to be compliant with the DORA conditions. Then there is the unspent funds on the social component of the downstream project on the Dehoop Dam. I think it's about 20 million. That is not major money. It's about 20 million. We had a budget of 298 million. We spent 78, and 20 million remain unspent on that particular aspect. This is the Dehoop Dam members. That's where the social component of it, there was 20 million that was to be dispersed. It wasn't dispersed at the end of the financial year. Next. Now, right, what have we done, therefore, and given your roles and responsibility in respect of the money bill, I mean, of the Money Act amendment procedures, we have already asked for rollover. Rollover means that the money that was not dispersed out of our account as of 31st of March, if we had invoices, if we had committed certain contracts, we would require those contracts are now committed and the obligations of the state, we would then approach National Treasury to ask them to allow us to spend that money in 2010 and 11 financial year. If approved by the relevant structures, you'd see it in the adjusted appropriation bill as one of the additional money to what has already been allocated as of the beginning of this financial year. The areas where we have requested for this is new office space for the Limpopo province. There's 3.5 million we need. There is water allocation reform here. It's a project we are running to clear the backlog on licensing, known as LATHEMA. We are operating under LATHEMA. It's a question of clearing the backlog of licenses. We started that initiative towards the end of the financial year, and therefore we did spend the money that was allocated on that. So we have requested that 7.8 million be given to us to ensure that licensing backlog is cleared. If that license backlog chair is not done, what does this mean to us? It means that our billing is not accurate. The billing on water trading entity. Because the billing on water trading entity relies on the registered water users on our water allocation register system. And if any user is not registered on that system, he's considered to be an illegal user under the law because they're not registered. So we need to clear that particular backlog. We estimate, by the way, beyond the already committed budget, original amount, we estimate that we'll require another 19 to 20 million to just clear that particular backlog. We didn't anticipate that. The members should note that. So when we talk about need, then the need in that particular area, 20 million, over and above the 7.8 million I'm talking about, will be another amount one will consider. Then the operating subsidy grant, the municipalities which did not comply with the DORA reporting requirement, and we withheld the transfer of the grant, the 10 million we are asking National Treasury, can you please allow us to hold on it? When they comply, we will still make it available because that need is still there and we need to attend to it. There was a claim against the department. That claim is real, so we have given it to National Treasury. The youth service here is work to be done on pipes, leaking pipes in Limpopo, or in Mpumalanga particularly, not Limpopo, but part of Limpopo, whereby we feel that we want to use the youth to do some work on the rehabilitation of some of the pipes and some of the selected municipalities. It's part of a support kind of program. Madam Chair, you have heard about the Hatties Beach Brook Dam, and it's still, and of course, the acid mine drainage and other things that go in the central basin in that part of the world. We, some time back, in 2005 or 6, there was a donor that expressed a willingness to support the cleaning up of that particular dam. For obvious, not really obvious reasons, for the recession that has been there in Europe, that donor pulled out. He didn't give, he didn't honor the commitment. They have reorganized themselves. So we have asked, already we had entered into agreements. As a department, we had entered into agreements. They don't know about this donor. They know what affairs. So we have told National Treasury this may turn out to be an embarrassing, not only an environmental disaster, but also connected ourselves with the service provider. So 9.5 is what we're asking, but that's not what we need this year. This year we need 26 million for that expense from the costing we have done. It's something that the minister is concerned about. On the 8th of March, the minister specifically said whatever the department wants to sacrifice, they should do so, but the heart is this brutal problem cannot continue in the way it is without the certain action being done. So that amount is one of the amounts that we are asking for. The revision of National Water Resource Strategy, I think I'm aware the Honorable Langmore, you have been asking questions about this issue. We have already done that. We have already committed on that exercise. So by the end of the year, obviously, certain work had to be done and we had to pay out that money. So the money that we had to pay out, the 4.1 million, we are asking again that it should be rolled over. The project is there. We have signed the agreements. We need to spend it. Rain harvesting in Eastern Cape and the Northern Cape, there is also 6.3. And then accelerated community infrastructure, this is where that co-financing from the municipalities I talked about. We are asking 74 million. Now, we are asking 74 million because National Treasury insisted that if we do not produce documented proof that we had already committed these funds, they are not willing to support the rollover. But that does not mean that the needs in accelerated community infrastructure program are not bigger than 74 million. I think that point needs to be to go out strong in the sense that if you are going to make a recommendation to finance and appropriation committee, we need even to be told, we need actually to be advocating for the entire 187 million underspend should remain with the water sector. But the reason why we are talking of 123 instead of 187 is because the remaining balance of about 54 million, we did not have those documentary proof to give National Treasury to support that we had already committed ourselves in contractually to execute whatever we wanted to execute. But remember, this is something that should have happened in the regional offices, or sometimes things fall into the cracks. We are not defending ourselves, but we are saying that is the requirement, and that's why we are not asking for the entire 187 million. Next slide. The environment. You will see the appropriation statement, which is the Excel sheet you have. I don't know whether other members can see it. We don't have the same eyesight, but if you can see it, of course, we can arrange a margin line version for you later on. We have had to transfer some money after the end of the year to shift money. We are allowed up to 8% of any program budget. The accounting officer can shift up to 8% from one program to another to cover over expenditure, as the case may be, in one area, without coming back to Parliament for a new appropriation. So this variation we are talking about, there was of expenditure on program administration, and that was to do with office accommodation mainly. And therefore, funds had to be transferred from these other two programs in order to cater for that particular need. Previously, what happened is that for a department like Water Affairs, public works will enter into the agreement for office space we want to occupy. They will pay for it. They will pay for municipal services. But I think 2006, I can't remember the exact year, but around 2006, there is an ability to settle out municipal services accounts and rendered for the office space was fully delegated to the responsible departments. There was no zero-based, what I would call a zero-based approach when those funds were transferred or when the function was transferred to the department. Now, so business went on as usual, the function had been devolved, the department reasonably so assumed that what they were being handed over had been well costed by the Department of Public Works. But as things changed in the department, we are hiring officials in water resource management, we are hiring officials to carry out, let's say, the DORA implementation, the DORA allocation, the implementation of the DORA allocation, you'll find that we require more space that was never there originally with the public works when the function devolved with Water Affairs. So this was not a failure on the part of the department budget, but it was the way the function was devolved to the department, and hence that's why we had a deficit on administration and funds had to be transferred from other programs to administration to cover that particular deficit. Now, therefore, those are the written reasons. The written reasons are there why we had to do the environment by which is then approved by the accounting officer. Of course, the accounting officer can delegate it to the CFO or a level she deems necessary, but in the PFMA, that particular delegation is with the DG under Section 43. In the year review, out of that budget of 7.7 million, remember, we have what you call earmarked funding out of that particular budget. Now, the budget I've been talking about, office accommodation, which is specifically earmarked, is 138 for the year we are reviewing currently. So that particular 138 is the one I'm saying was never enough to cater for rental and to cater for the municipal services, which is electricity and water we use in those particular buildings. But in brief, those were the earmarked funding we had in the year. Sanitation and schools and clinics amount is 350. Why is it being still accounted with us? The reason is that the letter of determination, the approval by Parliament, this amount never formed a part of the adjusted appropriation that took place in October. So the accounting officer for water affairs is still accountable for the use of that particular 350. Although the decision had been already been taken that the amount, the function should move to human settlement. The transfer function has happened. Water affairs, of course, the function, the total budget of 529 million was shifted to DAF as a result of the shifting of functions. Human settlement, the determination letters have been signed. They are no longer with us as we speak. But the expenditure amounting to 554, it will not be, we are going to disclose it, Madam Chair, in the accounting officer's report. We are going to mention it. But it's not going to be part of your appropriation statement, that amount that was there at the beginning of the financial year 2009 and 2007, because in the middle of the year, the Parliament voted that the certain amounts for forestry function should go out. Now, the whole set of financial statements the accounting officer is responsible for would be, remember, it's an instrument for the accounting officer to account back to Parliament to say that this is what you gave me and this is how I spent it. So anything to do with the forestry will only be mentioned in the accounting officer's report as significant matters that occurred during the year. It will not be part of the figures you have in your Excel sheet or in your appropriation statement when you get your annual report. Up to there, I don't know whether I should go to water trading or we should allow members to give some points of clarity, seek clarity on main accounts and all that before I continue. I'll seek guidance from you.
I'm sure members would like to engage you on this presentation. I'll give members 30 minutes to engage you on this presentation, because there is a lot of clarity that we need, including myself as a chair. I think it's a good exercise, because when we do this thing once a year, it becomes problematic because we don't have time to engage the department.
I would like to start from the content of what as a first. Yeah, the presentation outline. I want to start from there. I see all these items, Chairperson, on this page, but I must say there are items that I am not comfortable about, because it seems done deliberately so. One is understanding. Number two is rollover of funds. These two factors, they are very much unpalatable in my mind when you read them, Chairperson. Because we're here for development, and development is done with the budget. The money that is overspent is underspend, or that money you are rolling over to another year. It is not a good thing. And last year, in June, in the first opening of the parliament by the President of the Republic, Honorable Jacob Zuma, he said the overspending, in fact the underspending and the rollovers really are problematic to this government. And we must stop that. Instead, we must spend the whole money that we have in our midst so that we can bring development forward fast. Yes, Chairperson, I also disagree with these two factors. If we continue put these things in our agendas, in our documents, which means we're encouraging these two factors to happen almost every year, it's not a nice thing, really. And when you look to the expenditure of 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, you will find some percentage really, they discourage someone who is engaging in a developmental program and developmental space. It's a problem. To spend 94% of your expenditure, 92%, 93%, no, that's what really happens. Which means a lot of money is going back, then is waiting for rollover. When are we going to develop? And people are crying about the development on the ground. Then you know we're putting it in a very nice way. Understanding, rollover. No. Chairperson, I should think we must find a way. We must find a way as department. The department must find a way of dealing with this thing. If this municipality was dragging feet in the developmental issues, I should think, which means we are lacking a monitoring mechanism in that scope. We must do something in order to monitor our development, really. We can't accept a rollover, whatever, understanding. No. Want to say, these are the projects, this is Dilivile. Sino zero, lava. You can't say millions. We've got projects, but we're talking about millions for overspending. Rollover, underspending. No. So, the actual person must do something about this thing. And by the end of March, there are millions of Kulumanga CFO. 1 million, 1.0 million, 40 million, whatever. But the problem is, what is the anticipated budget to be spent at the end of March? We need to start from there. Good per quarter. How much do we anticipate for our expenditure? And therefore, if after covering that scope of the expenditure we anticipate as department, then what? Are we going? In fact, and it will go back to the issue that started Kulman, capacity. We can't talk about the capacity now. To say we don't have the capacity, as a department, who deliver my services, then we'll be coming in our boats to bring that capacity. Because as a department, we finally send the show within those that deliver my delivery. You can't cry capacity all the time. It will become a serious problem. And the chairperson, let me lay me in here, year over, 123 million. Imali SLA will be there, well, Castrazel. If Jalas here, no, chairperson, there isn't a problem. It's very serious. The problem. If Lemali, you want Jalas here, million. Maranat kuno ambe chosin ho mi lag na man. The kwafa ponche na man, ama pipe at rai, no bully pipe. Let rai. O mas pala wana maliyo paga ma pipe. Wana maliyo mente na ma pipe akon. Na 185 million and 87 million. Esibegile roll off. Si kulme gati ngesko. No, chairperson. Must correct this. CFO, DJ really are having a problem here. We can't roll over money back. Fanele imali yosebenza, isebenze imali. Isebenze endaweni right. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My first question is about the title of the presentation and whether we will get more of that perhaps in the second presentation. The title is Briefing on Current Expenditure Trends, which we are having now, and their impact on implementation. I'm not fully understanding the impact on implementation from what is being said, but that's a comment, really, more than a question. Some of my questions, Chair, are very simplistic. This finance is certainly not my field of speciality, but it's something that I have to try and understand, of course, within the department. So forgive me for that. Slide number 6, Chair, thefts and losses. I just find it strange, but I'm sure there's a good explanation as to why exactly the amount that was budgeted was actually spent on thefts and losses, which is such a strange thing. Exactly the amount was stolen as you actually thought was going to be stolen, or that's the way that comes across. So if you can explain that, please. Then slide number 7, you spoke about the accelerated community infrastructure project that is underspent, and you mentioned the fact that municipalities have to do certain things, they have to comply with DORA requirements, etc. You mentioned there the finalization of the business plan with a water service grant from a Pani district municipality. Can you just expand on that? I think it is pertinent. The R Big, when that was being presented by Trevor Balder, I think it was, similar comments were made, and I certainly have come across that in my constituency, where municipalities are saying they don't understand the R Big, they don't understand fully how to apply for it. So I know there's a problem within the municipality, and I know it's not your problem to solve. But if money's there, municipalities must be able to apply for it so that they can and comply with all the conditions, so that they can certainly use that money. So who is going to help them? Is it COGTA? How are we going to get by this problem so that we can indeed ensure that the money is there and used for service delivery? Chair, slide number 8, I'm interested in the SAFCOL claim against the department for a substantial amount of money, 4 million rand, if that could be expanded upon. Then also in that same slide, rainwater harvesting tanks at Eastern Cape and Northern Cape, 6.3 million, that's being request for rollover. Not as familiar with the Northern Cape as I am with Eastern Cape. Eastern Cape is experiencing severe drought. I find it disturbing that that money available for rainwater tanks to communities that have no water currently has not been used. And so an explanation on that would be helpful. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Governor. I want to concur with my colleague here, Comrade Hosana. Really, we are not impressed by this statement that we've underspent by 2%. In terms of monetary value, this is too much. I mean, we've always been talking of communities which doesn't have water altogether. But seeing that we are going to underspend, why didn't you check with your regional directors to take stock of their regions and identify areas where there is no water altogether? And you spend all this money here on those people who don't have water. For instance, I've been talking every day often with the community, which is next to Tolosgop Dam. I don't think it would need 20 million to give those people water. So I'm not impressed by this 2%. It's a lot of money. Again, you spoke of money being returned to treasury due to the mining houses not coming on board in terms of their social responsibility. Now, I just want to know as whether are there no any other means of compelling these mining houses to come on board or play their part? Because obviously they cannot hide behind the recession. Because they did not stop operations. They are operating in those communities. They must also play their part. And don't we have forums where you as the department and the mining houses and the communities meet and discuss about the social responsibility? Whereby if one party doesn't play their part and then something has been done about it, I don't think it will be difficult here to leave it up to the extent of retaining money because mining houses are not playing their part. You should have done something. Secondly, you spoke of theft and losses. Can you give us details of this? What has been stolen here? Is it equipment? Is it money? And what has been done about this theft, if an action has been taken? Thank you, sir.
And
thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine is just one question. I see here you said KwaZulu-Natal was one of the, those provinces that underspent. But when I was visiting KwaZulu-Natal last week, Pietermaritzburg, they don't have sewer. Everything is split in the town. The town is in mess. So I wonder why there was underspending while the lack of some of the infrastructure that's supposed to assist people with the water, especially the KwaZulu-Natal, the town in the municipality in the town. They said the department owes them a lot of money, but I see here you said rental. Are you still owing municipality some money for the offices? Because when you go to the provinces, you will hear the municipality saying the national department, they don't pay us, they don't pay their rental in the offices. So it must be clear that you are paying. If we are not paying, you must pay, because even the municipality are suffering. And then this lack of monitoring, I think, is the one that bring all these things. I should think that the department must change this monitoring mechanism, because we can't have such a huge amount being not used but having problem on the ground. Thank you,
Chairperson.
Thank
Thank you very much, Mama Pumzile, and thanks to members. DG, maybe you'll have to explain to us, Kuti, what are the functions of this monitoring component that you have there? Because there was a time when we introduced people here, there was a monitoring and evaluation. I thought maybe if you monitor even the way you spend your funds in the department, so that you should see these challenges coming and try to address those challenges. And then on slide number 8, National Youth Service, and then it was said that it's for the purpose of dealing with leaking pipes in Limpopo. And you ask yourself, we don't have the problem of leakage in Limpopo alone. I think statistics have shown us that the Eastern Cape is the number one province that has got a problem when it comes to leaking pipes. Because then why do we have to use Limpopo alone, not other provinces? And then I won't repeat this other thing that has been said by other members. And also on unspent funds on social component of downstream project. I think my problem is the same as the problem of Tatu Hoshi. 20 million. You can't say that 20 million is a small amount, because I heard you correctly saying the small amount. How many houses can you give water with 20 million? How many schools, how many clinics can you make water available for 20 million? I have a serious problem about the way we are dealing with our finances in the department. The last time we were at a workshop, when this issue of underspending was raised, you felt very offended and said it's not true. When members said that they are worried about the kind of understanding that is in the department, and you felt very, 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 very much offended about that. And secondly, on the issue of environment, yes, we understand the requirement of the PFM about 8%. But I'm just asking myself, Kuti, when you do those transfers, you teaching, you must always prioritize and look at the core business of the department. If the department is supposed to deal with water services, why do we have to take money from water services to administration? Why didn't you budget for the IT for your department, for your program one, which is administration? Yeah. For instance, it's somewhere when it says that something to do with staff, you know, the high staff turnover, and then the department had to take money from program 2 and program 3. Program 2 and program 3 is dealing with water resource management and water services respectively, you know. Then one has got a problem there, because those two programs deal precisely with the core business of the department. And then you take money from that instead of taking money for the purpose of delivering water to the community, to take it for something else. When we met with National Treasury, when we requested National Treasury about these amounts that has been returned to them, and then we asked National Treasury, is there no means that this money can be used for other purposes than to return the money to them? The National Treasury emphasized now and then of saying that if the department can convince us that this amount is going to be used only for the delivery of water, we don't have a problem. Not for any other thing, not for IT, not for what, but only for the delivery of water, because it's their core business. Now, today, you get then this kind of a financial statement which says that we took money from a program that is supposed to deal with water, and you take it to IT and stuff and the rest. And then on the earmarked funding, I just want the explanation there. As Honorable Lovemore says that we are not expert when it comes to finances, but because we are politicians, we know that 1 rand plus 1 rand is 2 rand, and we want you to convince us that 1 rand and 1 rand is not 2 rand, it's 20 rand. And earmarked funding. This earmarked funding, is it funding that you have? Have you been given this funding? I want to know the status of this funding. Is the funding there? Has the work been done that was earmarked for? Yeah, and then the other one is clear, but I had one question that I thought. I was saying that, just remember that we are fighting very hard as the portfolio committee for the department to get more funding. How do you justify this then? If you go to National Treasury and say that we feel that this department must get 100 billion and then they fail to spend 7 billion, how do you justify that? It becomes very, very problematic to us as MPs that we can have the guard of going there and say that we need to get more money from yourself, looking at the expenditure trends on page 4, 99%, 94%, 92%, 92%, 93%. There was never 100% expenditure, and then you expect us as Parliament to go to National Treasury and say give more money to Water Access. It's difficult to do that. Maybe you'll explain to us the way you understand it as people who dealt with finances. As I'm saying that we want to be convinced that 10 rand and 10 rand is 20 rand, is not 200 cents, and then we will agree with you. But at the moment, as it is at the moment, there are many questions here that one would ask. Really, there are many things that we're not satisfied with. Thanks. DG, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, let me first by acknowledging the fact that understanding means there's something that is supposed to have done that you have not done. Let me understand that. Rollover means there's something that you have done that you have not done. I do accept and appreciate the concerns raised by the members. Let me first start by something that is, I think it's, we might have to come back and explain safely. Because as the member Lango says, it's an impact. I'm just going to talk about license. The delay in license had a major impact on the demand. Firstly, people could not get their licenses to do the business. And then you, that's when you get mining companies operating without licenses. That's the first impact. So then you cannot, after saying that if they do all sorts of things like night compliance, then they start to say, but we've been waiting for you for almost 3 years. You've not given us license. And also, in terms of, you know, your economic growth, there is an impact. In other words, if you go and get information from the progress on the implementation of the industrial policy action plan, one of the things that has been seen as a stumbling block by trade and industry is the delay from Water Affairs in processing license. And I have to accept here that the license, we've not been able to resolve the license problem until the minister called all of us in one room. The reason being, that you've got two branches. You've got the regions, then you've got PNR. The license is lodged at the regional office. And the backlog was at the regional office, because they must process the license. Once we discovered licenses were submitted by people, they were just put in offices, not attended to. Later, the licenses, and then we discover that the licenses, the application form is not filled completely. Then we return it back to a person after 6 months, and then it comes back again, and then you don't even have the right address of the person. So there was the problem where also you find that there was one person in one region processing license. If that person was off sick, so the license was not even happening. So we had to unpack the minister. And then that's where now the minister decided that let's pull people out of their jobs and have people now working on the license. So we've got this team now, through the minister's intervention, working on the license backlog. We've got more than 2,000 licenses that are the backlog. So we pulled people out of their jobs, they're working. So we got that. So there is an impact on service delivery on that one. The other one, Chair, also the issue around, just to talk on impact, because I think it's important to be transparent about the impact of really these issues. The National Youth Service is
here's a problem with them, which we need to go back in the department and deliver it. You have a last resort service and you want to implement two municipalities. You have to first go to a municipality and mobilize the youth and have a clear understanding of what you need to do. So we went to municipalities and then we transfer money to municipalities. We went with the National Youth Commission. From where I stand, there is a need in the department to really improve in our planning, amongst ourselves. Because what is happening in government is in something that we are waiting, as you know. We start to plan, you've got the baseline, but you never plan on time. But then, when we start to plan end of April, that year where you're supposed to be delivering, ideally, I always say to people that the baseline approach is meant, gives managers an opportunity to plan a year before you start the new financial year. But in practice, okay, I'm saying this with all of you, in practice, we plan during the middle of the year, the financial year. Then you have to place, people have to place tenders. Then it's June, then it's July, implementation starts September. And that also catches up with us. That's why, Chair, we took a decision that we need training this June. All senior managers have to go for zero-based budgeting. Because if we also not quite clear about the costing of business plan, whatever amount you put there, you are not going to be able to achieve what you are doing because the sense of clarity doesn't exist. So we agreed as a department that we need zero-based budgeting, that ability to be able to do that, to work on that, also to interact with local government upfront.
Alignment in planning between what happens.
and local government. The reason they have discovered that there's a gap in that alignment. There's no tight alignment in terms of their own planning and our planning, and we need to tighten that. So those are some of the issues, Chair, that are again problematic. One of the things you talked about last time, you asked us the question, if the signals are that we are not going to use the money, why aren't we shifting the money to areas where the need is clear? And it's something, Chair, I must be honest with you, and top management, we do get the support on understanding to look at them. We just take note of the report, I must be honest. Now it's a matter of the consequences around understanding. Because what you see, or what you're going to find that for the 3 months, 3 quarters, we are just spending below. Then of course there's a huge spending now result last month, last quarter of the year. And payments are done at the end of the year. Then the question that keep on coming that are we planning properly? Why are you not spending the whole year then we start to spend at the end of the quarter? So that's why I'm saying we may need to go back to the drawing table. Is our planning routine correct in the department? Are we planning at the right time? Are we doing the right costing of the plan? Are we interacting with stakeholders properly so that they are clear, they are ready to deliver on these issues? And also to say, hey, if we're underspending, can we approach treasury and say, can we take the money that we made for this area and then take the money for another area? We've not necessarily raised that. And also, Chair, I must be honest, we've not implemented, particularly because DDGs are responsible for their branches and their money. We've not really implemented consequences for underspending. So those are some of the maybe the challenges that we have in the department that we really need to work on, Chair. All in all, Chair, I must also accept that there's a serious room for improvement in the way we manage finances. At the top management level, really we need to improve. We're not supposed to have understanding in areas that really where people really require services. So I'm really trying to be honest and open about some of the shortfalls that we have. Also, let me just also indicate, Chair, since I came to DAF in 2005, we've always had debt around IT. I think the IT contract with ARIA started in 2003. We've never paid invoices. Now, I then said this year, can we really pay the IT, the outstanding IT debt for one thing or not? Then we know we have to move forward. So we've always had this IT debt with ARIA. So what is that this year? We said, let's pay the debt, then we can have a clean slate and be able to move forward. So that's why you find that we had to pay the IT. And as of the Chair, I had to request ARIA to give us a space, not to pay invoice so that we finish the debt that has been accumulated for the past 6 years in the department. So that's why you see the IT issue that we need to resolve around we had to pay. It's just to have a clean slate to move forward. So those are some of the issues, Chair, going forward. But can I also request you that we come back also with more explanation on some of the issues of rainwater harvesting, to check if really were the tanks installed and it's just the invoices that were not put. And also maybe, Chair, to come back to you to say, what are the plans to make sure that municipalities use the money, and if they don't use the money, we are able to take the money and give it and use it for things that are clearing, and where you know that I can go there and do the service without really having to engage in discussing around how to use the money. Chair, I will request this. Monitoring, Chair, we are doing the monitoring that we presented to you. Let me sort of tell you a component called performance planning and monitoring. They are monitoring the business plan. How are we implementing the indicators and the output? DDGs are responsible monthly, it's in their performance agreement, to monitor expenditure and to be able, when they see that there's an understanding here and there's an area that is overspending, they need to do also the shifting. DDGs have the authority in terms of the PFMA to shift money within their budget, and the DDGs then have to shift money funded as a medical advice. Because if a disease is not spending, you're supposed to take that money and give it to an area where there's need and somebody's spending. We've not engaged in that difficult space where we said, you have not spent, you've been given so much time, and you're not showing any attempts to spend. So I'm taking your money from your brand, I'm giving to that brand. We've not necessarily been quite strong on that one. And I think that the message from you is, cannot continue in that sense anymore. We just need to act. So those are some of the areas of improvement, Chair. But we are getting a top management. I must be honest with you. Therefore, please report. We get a report of top management. We have once a month, we've got a top management. One of the things we consider internal audit report, then we consider expenditure trend. That report comes to top management. The question is, we're not acting on the red light that we see coming. We know them, and then people promise, for example, they will promise that, no, don't worry, the money will be spent by the end of the financial year. I'm working on it. I've got the plan in place. I will work on it. So when you question them, they start saying, no, don't worry, we are working on it. We are working, we'll get things right. And then you get to the end of the financial year, then you have to deal with the problems. Maybe it's what I was thinking, Chair, is that we are going to have the one-on-one monthly monitoring meetings with diligence, and then diligence then can start to talk on their expenditure to say how are they to account for their expenditure. But we must also agree with them that we are going to do a media review and we are going to take money from a DDG that is not spending the money, we give it to the DDG that is spending the money, the program that is spending the money. So that's what we really intend doing, because we really, the signals are always there that we are going to understand.
I'm becoming even more concerned. The more you talk, the more I become concerned. How come that you keep such people in the department? Because if you are given the responsibility and you fail to do what is expected from you, the punishment that you get does not punish the DDG, punish the people on the ground. Because if you are responsible for a certain program, that at the end of the day is supposed to be delivering of water, and then you don't do that, and then you take the money given to IT people, it's a problem. It becomes a problem to us. If a person can't perform, as the president has said, why do you have to keep that person if he or she can't perform? I think what we need to do in future in this portfolio committee, each and every DDG will have to come in front of the portfolio committee and account on his or her program. For instance, now that you are busy talking, I'm thinking of saying to you, can you identify as per this report those DDGs who are responsible for this rollovers and the underspending and whatever you call it? And then they come and account to us and tell us what is the problem. And we take it even some 3-4 years back and have a look at that specific program. Would it so well be clear understanding? Because Tina, when we assisted, we'll always blame the two of you when you assisted. Whereas there are some people who are supporting yourself, and then you are trying your best to talk to these people, but they don't adhere. In other words, you are not moving anywhere. You are going anywhere. As long as those people don't try and do their part and play their part, otherwise you are going nowhere. So I think the best thing for us to do as this portfolio committee is to call those people who are responsible. And if they can't do what is expected from them, we will fire them. If the minister can't fire them, we are going to fire them. Because people are crying for water. There is no water. I don't know what it is that we need to do that people must understand how serious is the issue of the delivery of water in this country. It's a serious matter. You know as much as I know, DG, that it's serious. I feel the other day when Mr. Skofana was saying to me, you know, Chairperson, we have so many entities who are involved in water. No wonder there is no water, because everyone is doing his or her own thing when it comes to water. But now I seem to understand even our own department can't even deal with issues of delivery water. Somewhere, somehow, before we blame the municipalities, I think we need to look inside ourselves as departments. I have a serious problem. But continue, Tishi.
The CFO will have to give reasons on the term issues that you've raised. I've noted that. But Chair, I must be honest with you. We need to reflect seriously on stock management around financial management. It's something that we are going to reflect seriously on it. Say, how do we manage in terms of our own planning? Because we're also in treasury, that's why treasury is able to provide information, because it's supposed to submit the spending channel to them. So they can see the spending that we're doing at the right level. So there is that aspect that our financial management generally requires some serious tightening, and also making sure that also if you go as affected to a business plan and you ask about, we said we are going to achieve the National Water Resource Strategy last year. The business plan says that. We have not achieved it, and then also this is underspending. So that's why I'm saying the disalignment is take the business plan. In some areas, we have not delivered. So I have to accept that. I can't really, it's just clearing. It's a logical thing to say this has got an impact on delivery, and it really, that financial management needs to be prioritized by the team.
Thank you, Chair and other members. I think your message is clear about the expenditure. I think what I will seek to do is to give you clarity on some of the issues around safety and the losses. When we do the appropriation, or when the Parliament approves appropriation, we don't budget for theft and losses. But remember, we don't run an insurance cover for public entities. Now, but at the end of the year, when the year ends and we have registered those theft and losses of whatever, it's not somebody that siphoned money and all that. It's actually equipment. You will find their equipment or like part of that 50. But part of that 50 million, we are referring to it as a theft and loss. There's an amount we are covering. We are writing off the debt of Namakwa. There's a debt, a loan that was. It will be the annual report, Madam Chair. Where will detail out the breakdown of that particular 50 million that we're talking about. So under no time will Parliament, even yourselves, if you engage even with the appropriation bill, do we have a line item known as theft and losses? But is it a reality? Yes, it's a reality. How did the 50 million occur? The details of it will be contained in the annual report. If you allow me, then I will want to resolve that particular understanding when I come back to present the annual report, which I'm sure you are entitled to. I should be able to explain to you what was this under theft and losses, because the auditors are also going to audit that 50 million. So actually the appropriation, more or less what I've given is an appropriation statement. What the auditors are going to do are going to pick each of those numbers and go back to the source documents and find out that when you say these theft and losses, have we properly disclosed them to the members of Parliament to understand exactly what it is? When we say we spend, let's say, on dams, building of dams, we spend, let's say, 2 billion, is it true that this money was indeed for those dams? And did it really go to the dams? So I would say on the question of theft and losses and the breakdown thereof, please let us engage with each other. Let me not say that we should respond to you in this stage. Let's engage with that question when we present the annual report. Will that be acceptable to you, Honorable Members? Yeah, the breakdown. Now, let me come to the... I think there's something else also I want to explain to the Honourable Members to minimize future so that we understand each other from now on. When we say also that we have underspent, let's say, by 187, I think I started off by saying that that does not necessarily mean, one, that the services were not necessarily rendered. Two, it does not necessarily mean that the invoice were not on the table. And I did go to a bit of explanation to say that national treasury, the reason why we are not asking for the rollover for the entire 187 million is because certain documentation must be made available, which is acceptable to national treasury. That documentation will be in the form of invoices that were with us, that is already rendered as of 31st of March, but invoice could not be there, could not be paid because there was some other verification still going on before you pay the invoice. So on the 30th of April, what we will then do, we'll approach National Treasury and say, although our bank account shows that we have 187 million, please be aware, these were the invoices that were on the table, these were the commitments already made. For example, the figure, if we go to slide number 8, now let me illustrate that on the figure on the beginning. That amount of 4.1, the amount for 4.1 on the revision of the strategy, the work actually has been done, the invoices were on the table. The amount of water allocation reform, that's 7.8, the invoices was in 4.8 were on the table when we closed the financial year. Now, there is a question of timing, what I would call the timing difference. The timing difference being, the day when the bank closes for the financial year and when the invoices are being processed. Now, that's where, as one of them, like when we say about rain harvesting, that one I'm not yet sure. I think we need to come back to you. Were the tasks indeed delivered or we are yet to deliver them? For the case of accelerated community service, that is true. There was no work that was done. That one we are not going to have. But when you come to municipal new office space in Limpopo, you will find that the regional office had already occupied space, but they hadn't paid that amount. Now let me come to the issue of KZN. Municipal bills, the way we handle them, the municipal services bills for water, electricity, where we get from municipality, the invoices come to us through public works. So we pay, by the way, public works. We don't pay municipalities direct. We pay public works, and public works is the one that is responsible to ensure that those invoices are paid to the relevant municipality. At least that one is occurring regularly. We do not owe substantial amounts of money towards the municipalities, especially for services they have already rendered, like garbage collection, water they have rendered, or electricity they may have supplied where they supply as with the water. Now, there was something to do with the earmarked funding. I think you are the one, Chair, you're the one. Can we go to the slide on earmarked funding? That earmarked funding, the point I wanted to show you is to tell you that the 2.6 billion, almost 2.7 billion, Chair, out of the entire budget of 7.7, is money specifically earmarked for those activities. When we say environment by the DG, the DG cannot make environment of that money without the national treasury. So that money already is part of the budget. The rent, which is office accommodation, the entire budget of that was spent. Working for water, the entire budget was spent. In fact, I had to stop them to tell them you are not paying another invoices because you have exhausted your budget. So you come on. Now, the 20 million that I was talking about, which the honourable members were reasonably right to be upset that 20 million would go back because of the mining houses story, is the money for that social component. And now I want to use that to explain something about how that project works. When a project of that nature starts, the commercial water users, the mining houses, would sign what you call off-take agreement, meaning that they agree to take a certain quantity of water and pay for it in order for a loan that is raised by TCTA to be paid. That borrowing takes place through TCTA. Now, the social component, because there are communities around, this is what the National Treasury and the Parliament allocate through the budgeting process. Now, when that if the social, the commercial component, which is the bulk of the funding, if it's not moving, it becomes very hard. I'm saying this so that you help us resolve the problem. It becomes very hard for us to move because these mining houses, they are individuals who say, fine, we are contracting with you on a commercial basis. So we are ready to take water because our balance sheets, our income statements are good. But when the recession kicked in and the commodity prices was going down, A number of them decided to go on a slow. They're not telling you no, but they are just on a go slow. How I resolve, whether you will expect me as a CFO to resolve that one, I will need to engage beyond myself actually. I think I would not say that I would walk into a mining company's premises and say, please sign here, we want to proceed. There would be another consultation process that one would need to engage with in order to fill that gap, honor of Matebe, for us to move forward. But it's a challenge. I think it's a challenge I don't want to hide. And by the way, something about reallocating the budget for the first time, that's why we moved from 92 to 98. That progress that we've made. All along, the under expenditure you have seen on Abuskazana from 2005 coming through to 2009. If you can go back that slide. The key contributor to that under expenditure was the Old Fans River project. Throughout, in our records, and you see it if you go back to the previous annual report. Now, when I saw that coming, and I think you already asked him, DG, we ended up writing, I convinced her to sign a letter to National Treasury to do what he called rescheduling of 600 million that had been allocated to the Dihoop Dam. When we realized that the mining houses were playing games with us, you can be sure you wouldn't have been. When already, that was an election year already. Remember that was the time you were going for election when we wrote those particular letters to National Treasury. Which National Treasury, in the way they came to you and told you, when you talk of infrastructure and co-funding, for the first time, actually, they responded very positively, I must admit. They allowed us to reallocate 502 million out of 600 for us to do more work on Inyaka Dam and Nyandoni. 502. If we didn't do that, by the way, because of that earmarked nature of the funding, we would actually be talking of 8% understanding today. Because this year we had a situation whereby the projects of Nyandoni and Inyaka were progressing very well. But on the other hand, the Old Fans River project was sluggish because of these mining houses problems, not signing the off-take agreements. So what we did in June, we need to reschedule this money. The money that was meant for Nyandoni and Inyaka Dam should then come to this project, Old Fans River, in this year, instead of us having to fold hands last year to wait until when the mining houses signed it. So some rescheduling has started. That is not where we want it to be, we must admit. That's the type of the conversation of media assessment that the accounting officer has referred to. I'm not sure whether there is something else. The justification of extra budget chair, which of course we are going to do to go through a bidding process. And I want to link it up. I'm not concerned with her, but she's here, I think, with something we can discuss openly. She has already set up a meeting plan on 15th of June or 18th of June for managers to go back and come with what you call new funding proposal for 2011 MTL process. After our discussion, it will be my plea or my suggestion rather that before we approach National Treasury with an MTL, which we need to do in July, August, this portfolio committee and the minister should have engaged with those particular bids. To the extent to which they speak to the mandate, and this is how you're going to get the answer you're looking for, how do we justify an additional budget for the department? Are we ready to have, let's say, another 100 billion or another 2 billion for the administration of infrastructure? Those managers you've talked about are the ones who need to say in the area of infrastructure or in the area of water services, they are ready indeed to spend the extra money that they want National Treasury to allocate for them. After having done the zero-based costing that we have alluded to. I think those will be my response. Unless you have left something, you will remind me that we can respond to them separately.
Thank you. I was very taken aback by the statement made by the acting DG that it took them 6 years pay this IT company. To my knowledge, PSMA says you must pay your customers within 30 days. So what led you to really own this company for 6 years? And what did you do about the people who are supposed to effect this payment? Here, something must be done about these people. 6 years? really we are bankrupting those people. There is no way that we can own a company for 6 years and can still survive. It has to pay its debt, it has to pay its staff, but for 6 years. This was deliberate. What are the main reasons and what did you do about those people who are supposed to pay them?
I just want to ask about this 50 million of theft. When did the department start to budget for this money? And if it's more than 2 years back, where are the rollovers of this money? Is it money equal to the debt? I should think another question that I'm having. And the question I must say, we need to go out of this chamber and go back to the roots to make an oversight. Really. Not later than July. And our oversight must start at Pretoria. In your offices, did you? We must start with your offices. Our oversight must start from there. Then from there, we'll move to the regions, to the municipalities. Really. We're sitting with a serious problem here. This department is operating as if it's a new department in this government. When you look into these issues, you can see that there are a lot of issues within this department. And yet the lesser is an IMDC department and DG. Because almost when you come in, there are new problems or there are new challenges that you are reporting to us. When you deal with those challenges, next time we'll come with other challenges. Then it shows us that we must do our work. That is an oversight. That's from Pretoria, provinces, regions, directly municipalities, to the masses, the mass meetings. We must go and work. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My apology for coming late. I started at finance. Chair, my question is, in fact, it's a clarity-seeking comment around the spending pattern. I think what has been said here in relation to the state of readiness of the department to spend an extra budget, I mean, that's a $1 million question. To say we need guidance from the department at this level, to say, are the regions ready to spend, to assist the national office in spending that budget? Because issues of infrastructure are issues that need some expertise at the regional level. So when you're looking, when I went through this presentation, I could see that the baseline figures are fine, but the issue of whether to say, is this department maybe need to be assisted with a zero-based approach, or is it fine to continue in this fashion? Because there is an element that says you are able to spend at a national level, irrespective as to whether the outcome is like that on the ground. That will be justified here by the visit that Honorable Skosana has alluded to. But I want an indication, Chairperson, from the department to say what is the status quo at the regional level in terms of ensuring that there is the necessary capacity to spend. You don't just ask for more when you are not ready even to spend the available.
So, Chairperson, the DG today have started talking to us, as he has said mouthfully that the planning part of it, as we also see that the planning part of it is not into place. So I'm happy today the department acknowledges that the planning part of it is not correct. It means the DG, when they left here, they will do whatever that is necessary for this department to correct and to engage with those regional managers. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Sus Jane. You know, as I have said, that if you can sit here and get really inside this presentation, we'll sit here until tomorrow. Because it seems as if DG does appreciate that there are problems, but the CFO does not. That's the problem that I have. The CFO doesn't agree with what we are saying. Yes, it's true, it's like that. Because, for instance, you are saying when you justify the rollovers, those are services that you receive, but they have not been invoiced as yet. Then you ask yourself, those debtors, how, or those creditors, how old are they? Are we talking about 6 months? Are we talking about 10 months? Are we talking about 3 days? And then it goes back to what Honorable Boshi says, that the problem that we always encounter in the community of businesses that die or collapse because of non-payment of departments is exactly what is happening now. Because some of these businesses, I'm sure they are small businesses, or there are some small businesses who are subcontractors under these big businesses. But if you don't pay them, that means that those small businesses will collapse, obviously. Because the justification from CFO is saying that it's not all this 187 million which is going back to National Treasury. It's a very small portion that's going back. The rest are invoices. We did receive the services, but we have not as yet invoiced the service provider. But I'm paying him alone. I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced if there is something that you people are lacking, correct that. But don't try to convince us on something that I know that I will never agree with you on. Because I don't agree with you on what you said, CFO. But I agree with what the DG say, or challenges that we are faced with, or improvement that is expected from you by this portfolio committee. And I'm also in for the proposal that says that maybe we should go to national office and meet with these individuals that are supposed to spearhead these programs. Maybe from there, then we can sit all together and come up with a better approach. Ours is to assist. What we are doing is what we are supposed to be doing with the department. But once we don't get the truth, it becomes a problem with the chairperson. And then it goes to an extent where the chairperson will stand up and say, move out of this room, because you're not being honest with the portfolio committee. But luckily, the person who is heading this department agrees with the portfolio committee that there are some challenges. So our plea to the department is to attend to those challenges. Don't wait until the portfolio committee calls you to come and account to the portfolio committee. Attend to those challenges, acknowledge the challenges, and say that this is what we have in place in trying and address some of those challenges that has been identified by the portfolio committee. I think what we need to do, we need to check Part B now. I don't want to respond on that. I just want Part B now. Let us check Part B. Oh, Ms. Love, I'm sorry, I did not see your hand. Okay.
Thank you very much. There was a question that I asked that wasn't answered about the 4 million odd claim, the SAFCO claim against the department. That was on slide 8. And then, Chair, I just want to comment very quickly on this issue of the municipality and the department, or municipalities and the department, not being on the same page as far as planning is concerned. It really seems to be a serious issue, because that's where our service delivery is taking place a lot of the time, within the municipalities. Now, just to give you one small example, within the constituency that I served, one of the directors of technical services within one of the municipalities said that he simply expressed, he threw his hands in the air. He said he does not understand this RBIC. He needs money, but he doesn't understand RBIC. So I thought, okay, let me go on to the Department of Water Affairs website and see if I can find some information that might be helpful. It's a community that I serve. Well, DG, you try. Go onto your website and see if you can find something that tells you, this is RBIC, this is how it works, this is how you apply for it, here's a guideline booklet for you to make it easy for you. There simply isn't one, Chair. So it does make it, I'm sure that the department, I don't know,
I hope that this department is interacting closely with the municipalities to explain these various grants, how they must use them, how they must plan to use them, etc. But this seems to be a sticking point constantly in terms of our service delivery. But I think it's something that that seriously needs attention, and it's not getting the attention that it deserves. But that is a comment. My question is about CEFCO claim. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, can I with your permission, also just suggest that we, maybe when we come for the quarter, April, May, June, in July to report, we then unpack for you, how do we, number one, what is the process of municipalities accessing this? How have we communicated that to municipalities? And what is the process? So can we talk about when we come back for the second round to respond to that? Maybe the other issue I wanted to plead with you, we will come with all the details the next round to you to come here. We also unpack, if for example we need to come back to around the NZIMA, the license backlog, to say to you these are the things that led to the backlog. This is how far we've gone since we started the NZIMA. Now this is the status of the license. Now we are short of this. And what are we doing to really eradicate the entire license? So we need to come back with specific around all the issues that we don't have the answers. I think also something that we might have to, CFO, to appreciate the fact that even if we've got the invoices, it means somebody else has not been paid. And that has got a sort of an impact on the ability of that business to continue. I think, Chair, let's accept that. But there's more information we might have, sort of with your permission, when we come back for the first quarter in July, we can then first reflect on the progress on NZIMA and the issues, how are we addressing the issues that arose as a result of the backlog, and to make sure that we don't generate another backlog going forward. So can we also just request that permission from you? Can you just explain us, of course?
Remember we were in the department until recently of water affairs and forestry. Fires that emanate from land that is associated with water affairs and forestry there would obviously be a claim against the state. And once that claim is settled or determined, and we are advised by legal services with the help of the state attorney, is an obligation we need to fulfill. Now, we need, therefore, to write off. By the way, that's, again, another element you'll find would constitute as part of so-called theft and losses. It's another one of the elements you would see as a breakdown when we say, when we write off those things that were, we never necessarily benefited from. Remember, a loss by the very nature of things, the department or the state never benefited from it, although you are dispersing the money. So the department, therefore, the department didn't benefit, like the Namaqua debt we are writing off, for example. As a department, the sector may have benefited, fine, but as a department with that budget, we did not directly benefit from it. So those are, I think, that's how you should understand that particular amount of SAFCO. Unless it's not clear still.
I'm sorry, it will be clearer when you come back in July.
Sorry, Jay, it's clear, and I don't know whether it's worth pursuing because forestry is not part of this department any longer. My understanding certainly, though, is that there wouldn't be a claim unless there was negligence on the part of forestry. And it's a 4 million rand claim, so that is serious. It's up to you, Chair, whether we pursue that further. I doubt the CFO would be the right person to bombard with questions about that.
No, sir, thank you. Now that you spoke about Namaqua, what is happening? What is the progress report, DG, on Namaqua? Progress report on Namaqua.
Chair, I've signed a submission on the money that we promised the fund. We indicated to that we are going to give them a fund to address the deficit issue. But I think what has not come up is the plan to overhaul the entire situation. That is the plan that we need to really sit around the table to overhaul. There is a proposal from the task team that is working for the minister. They are suggesting the same approach we did with Albany Coast, to Albany Coast, where we sort of took the functions and then gave them to Amatola, that we do the same and we consider discussions with CDBX. What about? So they are suggesting that approach, the Albany Coast approach. But we need to come up with a full report on how we intend to deal with the short, medium term, and long term problems so that it's a permanent solution. But now it's just the funding, which is not a permanent solution. It just them to deal with the problem of finances around the deficit they have currently.
Thank you very much, DG.
6 years,
or 6 years then. Yeah, IT company.
Sir, I'm sure the issue of the Aridia, I'm sure it's been in the newspapers for quite some time. We were getting IT services from Aridia, and you're supposed to get invoices at a certain time. With Aridia, we've had a problem that has been there for a long time. They won't give you invoice. They had their own internal problems. Today, Aridia doesn't exist. It has been taken over by the T-Systems company, the German company T-Systems. They were unable to provide invoices on time. So the invoices will be given at the end of the financial year. However, they managed to survive because they had another contract with Transnet and other big companies. So they were not necessarily depending on Water Affairs. They were the parastatal of government, not necessarily depending on Water Affairs. So they will give you invoices at the end of the month, end of the financial year. Then you will start to pay the invoices. So it sort of continued over as until last year, when we had to sit with the DG then and said, now we have got 240 million that we have to pay to Aridia, what do we do? And at the time we didn't have the money. So we had to sit down now with T-Systems. One of the things the minister said, can you please write letters to all service providers of Guam to say they must give you invoices by a certain time. Failing which you have to take action if they don't do that, because then you can't continue that business. So you end up not paying them and then you sit with the debt. So we did that, and that's why I'm saying we really worked hard this year to clean up the Aridia and to clean up the traveling arrangement with Pakisa. Because we also had the same problem where invoices are delivered very late. And here also, here's another problem. These companies sometimes overcharge you, and you can't just agree to pay them. So you just have to force them to give you the right amount. Sometimes there's a struggle, there's a dispute that no, you owe us 10 million, and then you say, no, we owe you 6 million. So we have to resolve the dispute. So one of the things is also the overcharging that you find, particularly the big companies. And we normally very strict on verification of the figure. But we sort of can promise you that we really have done some serious cleaning on the IT going forward.
It's understandable, DJ. But please don't do that thing of Sidibeng. Sidibeng has got their own problems. Sidibeng, they've got their own challenges. You should see letters in my office. So please let them solve their problems first before you can add another responsibility on them. Let them solve their problems first. I think we should take then the next presentation. I'm sure CFO, you are not going to read for us column by column. Eh? You'll talk to the document. Eh? Okay. All right.
I think before, I think the issue around, since you are saying that you want to start with the department about the oversight, the issue around the invoices are both sides, by the way. We have a case whereby the department could be guilty. Okay, I'm not sure, rightly so. I may have come out that I didn't appreciate what the realities were on the ground. In terms of payment, managers can also get an invoice and fail to start right on time. That's a possibility. Because the CFO will not pay an invoice, or a manager reported the CFO will not pay an invoice until it has been certified by the person who received the service, which is outside finance, or the obvious reasons. So that's what has happened with Aridia and Pakiza. Pakiza, as a matter of fact, by the way, you see it in the annual report. When we closed the financial year, for main account, we had plus minus 41 million we were owing. All that amount, because you want full disclosure, all that amount was between, we didn't have anything beyond 90 days, but it was between 30 and 90 days old. And it all boiled down to that wrong documentation that I delivered. They would be sent back. They again bring the same error once. So it's a process that we have tried to clear, and it was one of the contributors, by the way, in last year, the other financial year that was audited, to to the unspending in the department. So now, I think with that, I just wanted to highlight that particular complication. Now, to overcome the issue of certification internally, we have created what we call an invoice box. The service provider will deliver the invoice in a particular box within our building. Somebody who is within finance will open that box, look at the invoice, because the invoice must make reference to an order number, and the order sticks to a particular manager in the department. It will then be recorded up from finance to that manager to certify that invoice for payment in order to monitor the delay. Because the concern you're talking about smaller firms collapsing because they have not been paid is a real issue which as government departments in general we need to sort out. Next slide.
Thank you very much for that. Yeah. I just want to remind you that before I joined Parliament, I was working for DNL as a credit controller. Just want to tell you that when you talk about invoicing, I did that for 17 years. I know what I'm talking about.
Okay. But for this one here, is remember now, this one is on a accrual basis. It's not cash in, cash out, timing and all that. The outside general I will speak to briefly on what we are likely to give to the auditor. This is the content that we'll present. Let's go to the next slide. I'm not going to go line by line. It's to show you where the sources of revenue for this particular unit, that's water trading. We have what you call NWRI, that is the National Water Resource Infrastructure. CMA is the Catchment Management Agency, that's the water management area. And then we have the documentation. Those are funds that flow from the main account to water trading for various activities. Then there could be interest receivable from customers if it has been charged on overdue accounts. Those are the sources of revenue on this particular unit. Now, the budget, of course, when the budget went out that year, the amount we budgeted for 2 billion, but it looks like the amount that has been recorded is 2.8. And the reason for 2.8, you will notice that there is 600 million, almost 6 or 7 million, which is to do with interest receivable from customers. How does that interest come about? There has been a process of reconciling customer accounts in this particular trading entity, and the amount there were customers who are owing for a number of years or a number of months, I think it will be months in most cases, apart from the municipalities. And therefore, our policy says we need to charge interest on accounts that are overdue by 30 days. So that's where that particular amount comes in. If it's not recoverable, you will find it being written off, but the bills that have gone out for the relevant revenue that is shown as part of 2.8 billion is the amount that has been charged as revenue, which I want the honorable members to take note of. The other, what is called as other, you will find the disposal of all equipment, all machinery and all that, would bring in what we are referring to as other income. Now the expenditure, as you would expect, it would be on COE, goods and services, and etc. There will be obviously be a write-off of bad debts, debts which are known to be doubtful. Remember again, we don't budget for that. That's why it's a zero on the budget column, but there's a figure on the actual column because that's the amount we have specifically provided for. Depreciation, obviously, it is not a cash element, so we don't budget for it, but it's provided for based on the asset register, that figure of 1.4 billion. So the total expenditure, according to our calculation here for the year, is 2.7 billion, including the depreciation charge, which is a major expenditure there of 1.4 billion. Next slide. Now, revenue, of course, this is a commentary. I think I'll not go into step by step, but I've already commented on the issue of revenue already because of the interest that has been charged. There is also a favorable variance, which takes place in terms of improvement of the cash flow. The compensation of employees 23 below budget, and this is not necessarily a moratorium, by the way. It's a question, these were technical skills for engineering are supposed to be housed. So it's not necessarily the moratorium. It was much to do. I think I'm trying to correct that element. There was a moratorium only for 1 month, but that's not the key reason that went to an expenditure of 23. It's a question of attraction of those particular technical skills in this case. The operating surplus that is shown is mainly due to interest receivable from customers. Otherwise, the entity would have registered a deficit. The deficit will have arisen because of that particular depreciation charge of 1.4 billion, but which is a non-cash flow expenditure that is shown in the account. Now, we have alluded to some of the problems when I was in this room last, or when we met last, or when I last did a presentation. I did show you the weaknesses that are there within the existing pricing strategy, which we have embarked on to review with the view of implementing it after 2012, 2013, after it has been properly been consulted on, and it's another policy area where obviously your oversight role will be required. Next slide. Now, I think you'll recall this slide, Honorable Lovermore. I think we debated, you asked a number of questions on this slide. So when I talk of a possible deficit, we did charge that particular issue. It's a result of this problem that I alluded to when I was here last time. Because the price cutting for some of the major and other leaders who are now charged in the food cost. Remember, the pricing strategy is on a cost recovery method. So if you cut, but the costs have gone up, you still register that particular deficit, and that's why we continue talking about augmentation from the exchange and water trading until we revise that particular pricing strategy. The income and expenditure per branch, or for the branch, in this case here, this is now more or less on a cash-based element. In terms of income, the plan was 1.5, almost 1.6. The actual amount is 1.67. Then when you count the actual expenditure, you'll find that we more or less spent what we had planned for remaining within the budget, apart from the refurbishment. Now, why was the refurbishment? We budgeted for 521, but we spent less. It's a question of, again, saying we can only spend what we already have. That's what the CFMA requires. So you take your actual expenditure, what's already in the bank. So you don't just spend it because you're budgeting for 521. Unless it's collected from the water users, or unless it's already supplied, you will not be able to spend. And that's why the expenditure on the refurbishment, although not enough even at 521 million as budgeted, we only spend 39% of that particular amount. This is the infrastructure development. Infrastructure development, again, you will find that again, the expenditure is as shown there. Most of the items are more or less, the norm should be 100, but you will find that on the earmarked funding under this particular place, where you see 79 is because that 20 million that I talked about earlier on, which was never spent, should have been spent by the infrastructure development, which was not spent as earmarked funding that comes in from the water trading, I mean from the main account into the water trading. So the 20 million that I referred to earlier, which was to be spent, which should have been spent through this particular chief directorate. The total functional support here being the head office finance and all that, I mean being the head office, the DDG infrastructure, the documentation that was received was 100% from the main account, but if they spend everything, it looks like they remained with the 2.5 million. Now, the under-expenditure in this area has an impact, of course, on service delivery. If it's not done, obviously, it will have the impact on service delivery. It means one that should have been done will not have been done, or effectively, unless if invoices were on the table as of the time when this particular report was being compiled. But an amount of 2.5 for that functional support was not spent in this particular year. But that doesn't require a rollover, by the way. The money still remains there. It doesn't require an application national treasury to roll over. The money still remains in the bank account, and it can be spent in the following year. But the impact on delivery, obviously, it will be of concern to you as an oversight body. The total claims, in terms of water, these are claims from the water trading and all that, documentation. These are the total claims you claim from main account for the augmentation of the water trading. Those claims were adequately received as required by our own policies. Now, in terms of analysis, this is what I've commented on. I mean, commentary on that. The refurbishment and betterment is below the budget due to the fact that there was no actual cash in the bank. So, if there was going to be an overdraft, we would go slow on a net payment out of that account. Otherwise, we'll run into non-compliance issues. The first plan on infrastructure development, of course, it was because of prior receipts, but also that particular 10 million that I've alluded to in this particular regard. There was prior receipts that came in, which made things balance out in that particular account. But the surplus is still available for it to be used in the same unit. The NS spending that we're realizing in all those other units is what you use to provide what you call financial management support. The pricing strategy as it stands today does not cater for recovery of corporate services costs and financial management support from the water user. So that one must be covered by either from the main account or if there are any savings within the other technical chief directorate, they would then gain that particular amount to cover the expenditure on the support services. Now, the statement of financial position, which is a balance sheet, I think this is what we are likely with a few modifications later on, what you see in the annual report later on. I will not dwell much on this one, just to show you how the balance sheet statement of assets and liability looks like for this particular entity as that first March. With a bit of modification, roughly this is what will be submitted to AG on the 31st of May, shown here. Now, the challenges we have on this one is the question around debt, especially municipalities are owing water boards are owing us. There are cases whereby municipalities are also owing us directly. There was an impairment, 1.2, which needs to be carried out. We have not carried it out yet. Water trading entity, of course, there has a debt, which is more than 120 days old. Now, this is to do with the contracts that we're entered into that need to be renegotiated. There are cases whereby the contract with water users provides for billing 6 months in arrears. And then there are issues around the follow-up of your billing, and after 6 months in arrears, some of the water users will take their time in order to pay those debts and etc. Apart from also the other billing discussions that were inherent in this particular function. The function on debt, by the way, is the way the function was structured historically before 2007. The function, Madam Chair, on revenue was not with the CFO, was outside the CFO. It is until the Auditor General expressed a disclaimer that they could not express opinion in 2005 and 2006, but that history is important, that the decision was taken by the Minister Ben Hendricks and the DG to relocate this function in finance. Now, in 2007 and 2008, revenue and this data we are talking about was the basis for the qualification of the water trading entity. An action was put in place, which therefore saw trying to eliminate this from the qualification point in the auditor's report in the financial statement of 2008 and 2009. So we have a history that you will appreciate that we would not clear it overnight. It's a process that will require a lot of pain, would require a lot of patience, including such that there were no even business processes that were in place in terms of dealing, doing meter readings, and ensuring that the customer receives the correct statement for them to pay. I think that's also a piece of story we need to keep on talking about in order to resolve the situation. The TCTA story that we are trying to allude here, I think it will be a discussed position in them. It's a policy matter, yes. It will involve the Commissioner, but it will involve the Minister of Finance. Once a mandate has been given to TCTA, TCTA does not do the collection. Let's say on the Bad River, when we're doing the first one, the Bad River is a subsystem augmentation scheme, the one that is on the Bad River. When the mandate went out, ESCOM is the one that is using that water and fossil. Now, what happens is that a debt has been raised by TCTA. This is borrowed money that was used to build that particular tunnel. Now, whether we have billed and collected the money or not is immaterial. The money must be paid to TCTA in order for TCTA to pay off the liability we have borrowed to build that particular dam. This is what that particular second last point is referring to. It's an argument because if TCTA default, the lenders will record the loss, and the guarantee, if any, by government, will then be recalled. So it's a matter that we have found personally, or you have found even yourself as a committee, but is this a situation we want to see going forward, as we try to review the funding arrangement and the pricing of water in this particular sector. I think it's something that we won't answer today, I'm sure, but it's a question that we need to have on the back of our mind when we engage with this particular matter. But we are saying WT and the water trading entity, by the way, WT stands for water trading entity, sorry for the abbreviation that is not defined. We managed to collect 1.6 from water users for the current financial year. This was not enough to enable us to do major maintenance on our scheme, and that is why you see refurbishment and betterment. Instead of 5.1, we only spent about 2 or 2 million from the previous slide. Now, is there something we want to do about? We can talk about employing efficient debt collection method, that is internal. We can talk of reducing the TCK contract. That is, to me, where I'm seated, unless the leader has a different view, and unless one of the members have a different view, is a matter that is situated within the funding arrangement for the infrastructure. If we want to revisit the funding mechanism for infrastructure that is implemented by TCTA, then we can negotiate that within that context. But I will not be able to do that because those are policy matters that personally even the DG alone would not be able to push with that one forward. This is my view, and I'm sure you will hold your own views also on the matter. The review of the funding model, I think I presented here last time, it's part of our strategic document. We are initiating the process, and we are targeting 2012-2011 to have a document ready that will be embraced by all the sector players. Efficient collection methods are the ones that can be used to reduce debt. If we have this correctly, it's therefore we need to have those are management issues that I will not bother with the portfolio committee. It will be up to the accounting officer myself and our team to address that in order to clear our data book. But the second bullet point of revisiting the TCK contract, honorable members, I will repeat myself again. It's embedded within the policy mechanism for funding of infrastructure implemented by TCTA, and therefore it's a policy matter that does not necessarily have solution entirely with the CFO or the DG for that matter, but we can provide the technical inputs to inform the process going forward. I don't think I need in terms of cash flow, this is in terms of now reducing to cash, how is the position. We are saying that when you close the financial year end of March, the previous financial year, by the way, on 31st of March, we ended up with a bank overdraft, 51.2. I think that one is the next time that one of the members take note of that. Now, through that particular careful management of refurbishment, we have ended up. So when we say that we are spent on the refurbishment, it's because we are trying to control that particular bank overdraft so that we don't fall into non-compliance issue under the treasury regulation. The net cash flow position is positive, yes, but should you be celebrating it, please, I will say no, we cannot celebrate that. The situation is still, it needs more in all, if we have to see the results the citizens of this country want to see. We have generated 2.1 billion from our operating activity, which is sufficient to cover 1.9 for investing activity. But remember, the 2.1 includes documentation from the main account, which is the same as the exchequer account. Now, we are talking about a positive cash flow position of 138, but remember, we had a vacancy rate of 20, we had a vacancy rate in that particular environment. So, if we fill all the positions, means therefore, even perhaps even the 138 may not be enough to see us through. Now, debt collection, we need to be working towards 50, 30 days collection period and not those higher days. Or for 200, 192 days, and once said you are standing even at 300, the average collection day. So, but that is where the effective collection methods need to be implemented for improvement. Now, the issue around refurbishment and betterment, especially the backlog element of it, we have spoken about it before, is a matter that depending on the level of readiness from the technical team, it will require a bid to go to national pressure. Because the number is a backlog. The future water users are not going to pay for that. It's a backlog that they need funding from the exchequer. It will not be from the recovery of the tariffs from the current water users. I think we have talked about solution on improvement of the situation. We have mentioned about the pricing strategy review and funding mechanisms. A system of budgeting and monitoring. I think we have talked about zero-based budgeting for most of the units in water affairs. And of course, the strategy and methods to improve debt collection in order to improve our bank balance. Revisiting of the argument between TCTA, I've already mentioned it, and what my own thoughts are, and I'm not saying that my thoughts are correct, they need to be tested
where we say cash generated from operating activity are not enough to fund the refurbishment for the infrastructure in this particular environment, especially the raw water infrastructure. The backlog on maintenance, we're estimating between 10 and 13 billion, and that's why something needs to be done starting, but it will have to be cleared partly through the exchequer and through other connection we may get. Then the revision of pricing strategy, we put it on our business plan, you are aware of it, and we are committed to, I think we indicated that we didn't set aside 7 million in order to start all that process. I thank you.
Thank you very much. On members and be guided by you, and I recognize Honorable Lapu on our concern.
Thank you. And thank you to the CFO. I just want you to check a few things. Some clarity on slide 20. Compensation of employees. This is under infrastructure development. Compensation of employees. 162% of the actual. You've overspent on compensation of employees there, quite substantially, if I understand that correctly. And I was just wondering why. Then slide 25. When you talk about your huge debt book. Sorry, slide 25, of 3.7 billion. And you mentioned earlier in your presentation also about the slow payment, particularly by municipalities. This implies that we've, having been told recently that 1.4 billion, if I recall correctly, was owed to the department or towards by municipalities, that at least 2.3 billion is owed to the Department of Water Affairs by municipalities. Is that correct, or what? Okay, so, I mean, this is a lot of money. Who owes you this money? And, just for clarity, the last slide 30, where the backlog on maintenance and refurbishment of infrastructure of assets is estimated at 13 billion, is that just, I presume, infrastructure and assets belonging to the Department of Water Affairs? And I'm asking this specifically in light of the Minister's estimation of 23 billion being required to address only wastewater treatment infrastructure and assets. Although, certainly, we believe that is a gross underestimation, but nevertheless, that is just for clarity. Thank you.
Together to make sure that things are going very well, that we have to come back. finance bank account. I've been asking this question here on a number of occasions. I do the same with finance. Department tends to be very quiet about surplus accounts, and we know it for a fact that there are funds that are kept there. But the question of how those funds are utilized, I'm sure departments are treating it as an internal matter, so it doesn't have to be reported to the portfolio committee. So we need also an asset management policy, even if we get that in our in the next maybe engagement with us. There must be an indication, you must be shown as to this is your management, your asset management policy, and these are the areas that it covers, so that we are aware as to why do you have this debt and what is it that relates to the asset. So lastly, the tendency of department not wanting to pay service providers within that entity. I have discovered that there are events that are actually received by the department. If there is a shortfall somewhere, other departments would say, no, let us withhold this payment so that we get more interest so that we can cover other areas. So departments at the provincial level were doing that, and it was condemned. I'm referring to the Eastern Cape when the MEC for finance was saying, hey, members, if you can engage us further on this one, if you mean we must pay all the service providers within 30 days and come the end of the financial year, this government will have nothing, because we have to pay service providers at a snail's pace so that we get into the end of the financial year having something to work on. I mean, that tendency is not right. It is not fair to the service provider. They would even write letters to say, if you are a contractor, you have not been paid, we will write a commitment letter to say we are going to pay you in the next month or so. Take this to your bankers so that they can increase your overdraft. Something that is not up to speed. I'm not saying it happened within this department, but it tends to be like that, and if the providers, they know, the same in most cases, to say this is what is done at provincial level. So national is following suit. Thank you.
Because those are some of the issues that we have to interrogate.
Chair, can we go to slide number 20? Let's see what the question was from. Although we do not encourage that type of spending in terms of 62% above what was originally estimated, but where we are saving on consultants, you employ, you have budgeted for consultants, but then you employ in order to save using what you have budgeted for the consultant. Then we say, no, that's comfortable. We are comfortable with that. So under goods and services, you notice that the expenditure was 27% below what it was expected. So what I was told that happened by the relevant manager in this unit here is that he decided to reduce reliance on the consultant in favor of full-time employee. But this is something that occurred to him or her after the plan has been drawn. So in overall, when we look at the overall budget, it's to find out if this person overspent or not, we say, okay, then it's okay if this person didn't temper with the capital expenditure. For example, if one reason or the other, the capital expenditure of one party has been tempered in order to fund the current expenditure, you as a committee or even the DG should have the serious problem with that. Because part of the capital expenditure would have meant that maybe there was a pipeline or something he was to do with that equipment which would have suffered in the process. So it's allowed, so long as that shifting of the money at the end of the year when you're preparing financial statements is understood. But if it's the overexpenditure of the entire recurrent, then that one will be, of course, the very serious misconduct anyway, which then the DG would then take up as a misconduct. Now, on the issue.
Yes. It's not a best practice, because you can't really take money that's designed for something, and all of a sudden you think that that money now must go there. I think it's something that over time it can create this kind of for the department. So we need to work on it. I think we need to accept it. That you can't really allow people, because the structure, or you don't wake up and design the structure. Structure is divided over the years. They are used for many positions you see. So for example, to come and say in the middle of the year, I need so many posts, and then I don't take things with that money. So it really shows the lack of planning. So we just need to review that. Thank you for that.
Thank you for that additional. Now, since slide number 25, the DG has already indicated that we owe you a detailed report on who owes what. It has been compiled, at least I saw it, as part of this financial. It's just to structure it so that it's delivered to you. On the issue around 13 billion or 13 billion we are referring to as backlog, that is just for the bank infrastructure under this particular unit. It does not speak to the waste treatment works that are collapsing in the municipalities, and it doesn't speak to that. It's based on a verification exercise we did between 2007 and 2009, where we developed the asset register. And for information, the issue of the asset register was the basis for the disclaimer of financial statement 2005 and 2006. So after through that creation of that asset register and the verification and evaluation of the infrastructure, we were able to test what we call the condition of the assets and what it would cost us if we were to upgrade them or improve on them. So what you have is an estimate from that particular exercise. Of course, that doesn't mean that if we are given 13 billion today, we will spend. I think I'll tell you we want to spend 13 billion today. But I think we need to move, to start moving on that, either by half a billion starting from now with a plan going forward. The asset management policy, I'm sure Dr. Mieng is not the first time you have asked for it, but you didn't ask that I deliver to your copy. We have, there is one which came through this verification exercise. We ensure that we have a policy and evaluation methodology and other things that go with that. So it's just a question of maybe deliver. I don't know whether you want us to make a presentation on it or we'll give you a copy. I think I may need to get guidance on that one. Later on, I think you need to give me guidance, then I will supply. Now, payment of service, delayed payment for service providers in order to get into it. Unless you are a trading entity, you will not be able to keep that money. Any money we earn, we say, which is outside your appropriation, especially on the appropriation one, must be paid back to the National Revenue Fund. So, as a department, we will not benefit directly from it. We will benefit indirectly because if I told you it was such an interest, you will go to the National Revenue Fund, and there will be more pool of funds for us to bid for with the other departments. So, but you can assure in the department we don't do that. I think we can assure you that we have never done that in order to set money, and we don't have a separate investment account where we say that this money will be stuck there, and once there's an interest is when we can pay the suppliers, let's say, out of the interest. I know the commercial world will do that. We'd like to delay invoices and pay them at the last hour. Our problem for payment of invoices in water affairs are, one, in case whereby the managers have not satisfied the invoice on time, which we can deal with now internally, or the supplier delayed to provide us with an invoice. But deliberately failing to pay in order to earn interest, of course we need to specifically point the finger to us, we want to assure this committee we don't do that. And if it's happening elsewhere, the, I think that the relevant body should just play as the manager is concerned. Suspense account. On the question of suspense account, we only use a suspense account in a case whereby we do not know where to take that expenditure. Let us say we have received the payment and we don't know which account to debit, then we record in the suspense account as a clearing account. It's usually subjected to the audit. You will not see it on your balance sheet, by the way. You won't see it on the balance sheet. But if there is an imbalance in that suspense account, the auditors will, of course, try to verify, find out why did we put that particular item on the suspense account. Do we use suspense account? The answer is yes. Under what circumstances do we use suspense account? Is when we do not know which are the related accounts that need to be adjusted. Then we say, sorry, we receive this cash, we don't know whether it's from water user X, let it be here for now until we get an indication who exactly the depositor is. So you will find those ones, they are there. But it's not a matter we should hide. We don't hide it there from the auditors. It's usually scrutiny. I don't know whether the committee will want to have, like, especially on main account, a regular report on the movement of the various suspense account items. But for example, when we appoint an implementing agent, let us say we hire Rand Water to implement for us a project. Normally, Rand Water will say, can you give us, let's say, 10% as an advance? That amount, because we don't know what Rand Water will say, spend to, we will put it in a suspense account until we get the supporting documents from Rand Water to clear the suspense account. So you find that the monthly movement, which I then report to the DG every month, I give a report to say this is the movement on those. I don't know whether you want to see that report, but if you want to see that report in the web, we can share it gladly. We have no problem with that. Now, owing municipalities, yes, we owe municipalities, but we owe municipalities through public works for what we have rendered. But the other way, we owe municipalities because of the Municipal Properties Rent Act. There are municipalities, especially in KZN, that feel that the infrastructure that is located in that environment, we need to pay rent and taxes on it. We have come forth, and I say myself and the DG, we have handled one particular case of 6 million from one of the, I can't remember the name of the municipality, but we have handled one case of that nature. We took the position that we will pay. If we want a new whereby an exemption from the municipal rates and taxes, we will take the policy route to take the matter, whatever is supposed to be taken, in order for us to be given exemption, because we never provided for that particular type of cost in our pricing strategy. It's not there. But do we pay the 6 million? The 6 million instruction of the DG to the relevant manager who was to approve that invoice was that the invoice should be paid. We cannot start saying that we should be exempted from that particular rent. So they are there, but again, on main account and elsewhere, you see it in the notes in the financial statement. So when you get a financial statement, don't remember, you may want to interrogate some of the items that we showed there. Like we talk about infrastructure. What are we exactly talking about? You may want to interrogate to find out what sort of infrastructure we are referring to. I think that is what will be my response for now, Chair, on the issues raised by the honorable member. The other one from the, okay, I think there was one issue about COE. I think that was slide number 28. On a, I think I was forgetting you are a very important question, by the way. Slide number 30 or 28? Yeah. I think that is, no, they were just taking Kalin back and forth. We did not feel, they would not feel in order to do the cash flow position, no. It's just a question of attraction of the technical skills in that field, no. I think that is the add-on that will improve cash flow. Please, if possible, we withdraw it. It was purely technical positions, which, of course, you advertise, you don't get somebody, The advertisement again, you keep on with, especially when the construction sector was active for the build-up in 2010. So we did do that in order to build up the position in terms of our cash flow. Otherwise, the other comments about data collection, I think we take it as your encouragement that we take forward, we treat the matter with the seriousness that it deserves.
You are saying that you must also maybe not forget the system of budget monitoring, that is the spending interest, that you should monitor that. Because we don't see ourselves coming here again and identifying all. Yeah, no, I think you're right, that statement can be right. That of the vacant position that we will have because you wanted to boost your cash flow can be right. I think we've come to the end of this session, and that does not mean that we don't have questions. I know we still have a lot of questions to engage you, but because I promised members that we'll be here an hour, we are here almost for 2 hours, but we tried our